And then they turn it down on me. Come on up here, Maxine. I have a special guest for you, added at the last minute. Her name is Maxine Dugan, and she's here with a very special proposition. Maxine.
Thank you. Happy Gay Pride, everybody. Happy Trent. Let's hear it for the organizers of this fabulous, fabulous party. My name is Maxine Dugan, and I'm an erotic service provider. Anybody who earns a living from their erotic labor. You might be a prostitute. You might be a phone sex operator. You might be an exotic dancer. You might be a porn actor, actress. Or you might be a webcam performer, which is the fastest growing part of the sex industry. So I have a ballot proposal here. I'm circulating here in San Francisco. It's to decriminalize prostitution in San Francisco. We are demanding that we get equal protection under the law. That means that if we're victims of rape, robbery, theft, coercion, or extortion, we want the police and the DA to vigorously investigate and prosecute those crimes against us. Now, many of us know that prostitution is used as a means of transition. So you could be somebody who's transitioning from one economic place to another by funding yourself to go to school. You might be somebody who's transitioning from one country to another, and you're going to use prostitution as a means to do that. Or you could be somebody who's using prostitution as a means to transition from one gender to another. So we need all sex workers to stop being arrested by the police. We need them to stop putting us in jail and stop trafficking us into the first offender prostitution program, where they make us receive shame-based sex negative services. So when you see me out there this weekend and you're asked if you're a San Francisco registered voter, can you please take the time to stop and sign our petition to qualify for the November ballot? Have a happy trans march!
Wonderful. Our interpreter is even signing right now. Oh, it was just pointed out, signing and signing right here. Not so funny. Next up, we have another delightful pair of speakers. Vivian and Beek are here as part of a coalition.
What does it say?
Apparently it says Beck. Vivian and Beck are here as part of a coalition effort of individuals and organizations whose agenda is to ask HRC to be accountable for the transphobic support of a discriminating ENDA. Please give a hand.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vivian. How are you today?
Hi, I'm Beck. It's nice to see you.
We're here to say that the power of our community is our diversity. And as many of you know, HRC was the only one out of over 300 organizations that supported a non-gender identity inclusive ENDA.
Yeah, fuck them. So we're here to mobilize trannies, gender fuckers, freaks, creatures, and queers to take part in a direct action advocating for gender equality. Let's see. Where did I go? In supporting a bill that did not include gender identity, the Human Rights Campaign failed the trans community and all gender variant identities. Every year, the Human Rights Campaign throws a lavish dinner gala where they praise their supposed progress in securing rights for our community. This year in particular, they are focusing heavily on marriage equality while underplaying the important issue of gender inclusiveness in the ENDA.
We want to say that marriage is not enough by far. And we want to be present at that space to demand accountability for the communities that they claim to represent.
So we're inviting you now to act in solidarity as a community by coming to the Left Out Party, a genderful gala. It will be a fabulous gender-bending spectacle of speakers and performers with our own awards and accolades. Our counterparty will be positive and celebratory as we demand accountability from the Human Rights Campaign. I hope to see you there.
And you know, we're doing it as a counterparty, as a really celebratory thing where people can come and feel like they're really represented and included in the community that's present, so.
My name in other worlds is Andrea Danger. You may call me Annie. Now, so as to keep things rolling. Oh, no, never mind. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. You see, many of you may not be aware what exactly a tent wizard can do for you. But I, as the great tent wizard of the West, am here to bring you boners. I have great power, but only over a small section of our world, larger depending on who you are. I am the wizard of all things Crotchley, and accordingly, I will bear this to you. The great fates have given me no control over my own boner. It migrates around my body, day and night. Who knows where a penis will pop up? Strange it is, but true. And with that, I will stop wasting your time. If you want to talk to me, however, about getting harder, come on over to the side later. I'll help you out. It's the best incantation I've got. In the meantime, I hope that helped get your attention, because next up, we have Stephanie Schur, member of the World Gender Coalition, Transmarch Organizing Committee, and proud mom of a beautiful 7-year-old named Skylar, here to talk about the DSM and the ICD. Give a hand.
So much. Oh, everyone's so beautiful. Just walking around here, everyone looks great. Thank you all for being out here. I want to start off by reading to you something. The first paragraph is something I wrote as part of the resolution for the World Gender Coalition. There comes a time in history when a class of people who have been misunderstood, oppressed, vilified, ostracized, ridiculed, and abused by the institutions of society due to profound misunderstanding of the reality that humanity is much more rich, diverse, and vibrant than the traditions those institutions lead people to believe, must rise up in unity against that oppression and proclaim that they are very much a part of the beautiful, normal diversity of humanity and must be recognized as such in order for the institutions of society to sustain and advance humanity as a compassionate and soulful thing. Dr. Martin Luther King, in his I Have a Dream speech in 1963, told us that he dreamed of a day when people would be judged not by their outer skin, but by the content of their character. In essence, that who we are, but our mind, our feelings, and our intellect make up who we really are, not the composition of our outer skin. And even when we celebrate doctors' heroic efforts to save people's lives, and when we say that save their lives, we mean that their mind and their intellect is saved, even with the failure of their bodies. In every case, humanity recognizes that the form and condition of our bodies does not and should not determine who we are and what we can achieve. But in the one single case of gender, we throw all that out the window and say, no, it is your body that rules over your mind, and your body determines what you should do, how you can act, how you must associate with other people, how you can love, who you can love, what colors you should like, and what toys you should play with. Why do we make this one single exception to the idea that our minds determine who we are? Why, in this one case, do we want to pathologize anyone who asserts that their mind rules over their body? My friends, we have a key, we're at a key moment in our history. We have an opportunity starting right now that will come, that will not come up again for another 15 or 20 years. And the trans community is stronger and prouder and more organized than ever. While the American Psychiatric Association is beginning the process of updating the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Illness, the World Health Organization is also beginning the revision process of the International Classification of Disease. Both these things are used by the healthcare system to diagnose and treat people, and both of these things currently say that we are mentally ill for being trans. Both of those things are wrong, and both need to be fixed now. The unique opportunity that we have now before us is to not only remove the stigma of being falsely labeled mentally ill, but also to get a classification as a physiological condition so we can get recognized for the truth of who we are and have access to the medical care that will help us bring our bodies to agree with who we are. No one wants to be left without a way to get medical assistance. So if we work to change both of these things together, we will improve our access to the medical care we need while getting rid of the stigma. The revision of these two manuals is starting now, and we can and we must lead this process because it is a process that will help help to tell the world who we are. Do we want Kenneth Zucker and Raymond Blanchard telling everyone who we are? Or should we tell everyone who we are? Yeah. You don't need to be a doctor or a psychiatrist to be involved in this, but you do need to get involved, everyone. And together, every single one of you, and together we can make these changes happen. I know it in my heart, and I know it by seeing all of you, seeing and talking to so many of you. I know that we are strong enough, and we are proud enough, and we are wise enough to know exactly who we are. And we will tell them who we are and what we need. And we will not let them tell us anymore. Thank you.
Ah, okay then. Next up, we have an exciting performance, we'll call it. There will be a special guest, but the special one I'm going to introduce is Arianna Davis, co-founder and president of the World Gender Coalition, here to talk to you about the DSM stigmatization issue and gender identity rights. Please give a hand. Please clap louder. You're trying, I know.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? How you enjoying the weather? You like the wind? I was keeping you awake. So we're all having a good time? Good. Well, let me tell you something. You're freaks, you're deviants, you're perverts, and you're frauds.
Thank you.
These are epithets hurled at us. But those who fear us, revile us, and hate us, we gather here as a people oppressed and imposed upon and walked upon. We have had little or no say in how we are perceived or treated by society. We are mocked by medicine, belittled by the media, dismissed by those in power, sexualized by misogyny, murdered by ignorance. You know, I had a very close friend who's a female-to-male transsexual. He took his own life because he was turned down 4 times at a medical center. They laughed at him and called him a freak. They told him he was an unusual case that they did not want to be liable for. You know, until now, we've had faint hope in our own future. Our collective health and fates determined by those who do not have our best interests at heart, who do not share our experiences, and who harbor their own agendas about what makes us who we are. Today, that is about to change. We gather here to stand as one people, with one voice and one purpose, to reclaim our dignity and to proclaim the right to our identities. You know, this date, June 27th, marks a day of uprising that carried on the echoes of oppressed voices screaming, "Enough!" long into a hot New York summer night. On this day, 40 years later, June 27th, 2008, an offspring weaned from a mother called Stonewall begins to take the first steps towards freedom. This day marks the continuation of an uprising led 40 years earlier by trans people.
Yeah. What's up?
But in the past, largely incorporated into a popular mythos of another marginalized subgroup. Not this time. Not this time. A new spark has ignited us. You know, this is Stonewall too. On May 1st, a review committee of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health has been appointed by the American Psychiatric Association to produce a new version of said manual. This is used to diagnose people who have mental disorders. I don't have a mental disorder, do you? These appointments include individuals such as Dr. Kenneth Zucker, who believes that trans children can and must be cured of their gender identity. Another, Dr. Raymond Blanchard, pushes the belief that trans women, despite their internal identities, are either extreme homosexuals or are simply in lust with the idea of themselves as women. Additionally, Dr. Blanchard dismisses wholesale the very existence of trans men. Come on. It's because they do not fit his junk theory. The very idea of a spectrum of gender is to be ignored. Intersex people are to be surgically fixed as babies, forced to endure lives and roles decided for them despite their internal gender. You know, there are other ways to help trans people. Rather than labeling us as disordered human beings, we must have an alternate medical means for a diagnosis that states that we have a physical problem rather than a psychological one. The definition of us being mentally ill must go. You know, in case no one has realized it yet, there's a war being waged quietly against us. Or so they think. Until now. The idea is to steadily isolate us while systematically erasing us from society. To make us disappear. But you know what? We're still here. We have always been here. We will always be here. We must wake up. We must get up. Hello, wake up. We must respect for respect, dignity, and survival. This we must do or die. This is Stonewall too.
What we need to do is take the shame and stigma out of ourselves and put it where it belongs, on the fucking DSM-4.
Here, what Sam is demonstrating is that we must take that shame and that self-stigmatization and pathologization out of us. We don't deserve this.
No.
This represents the flame of our desire to live as human beings.
This is where the shame and stigma they put on us for our whole lives fucking belongs.
Today marks a new day.
Hello there. Next up, we have a lovely speaker. Ashley Love is the organizer of Media Advocates Giving National Equality to Trans, which is MAGNET. Who knows what that spells? That's right, Turkey. Magnet, wait. And she is an organizer of the Trans March. She loves San Francisco and the San Francisco trans community. Ashley Love.
Hi, San Francisco.
Wait, I'm right by the stage. I have a red hoodie.
Well, first I wanted to thank. First I wanted to say today is the anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion riots that happened on June 27th in 1969, when the trans community led an LGBT movement for us to get our rights. Sometimes we're forgotten by the LG community, but let's not remember who led those riots. So I want to say happy anniversary. And also, I wanted to thank Ariana Davis and Stephanie Scher. They are from the World Gender Coalition, and they spoke tonight about how important it is for us to get involved, because the American Psychiatric Association is, you know, basically trying to dehumanize us and say we're crazy because they're trying to control us. And so it's really important to go to that back booth. It has a blue canopy. And there's some petitions. And right now we have 10,000 signatures from the trans community and the allies to make sure that people are not discriminated against. So we need, there's like, how many people here? 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or, I don't know. There's a lot of people here. And yell if you're here. Okay, that sounded like 3,000. Okay. So, go sign these, because then we'll have 13,000 signatures. Or sign twice. No, I'm just kidding. So, okay, and thank you again for the World Gender Coalition coming here. It means a lot. I really love San Francisco, and I can't dance, I can't sing, but I'm going to say a poem that I wrote. And it's about, well, I know right now a lot of people were talking about the APA. They were saying that what's really bad about it is the negative stigma that it gives trans people. And it's like this very violent, hateful, ignorant, judgmental stigma that trans people have to grow up with, which is really bad for our health. And if anything, people are crazy because of all that negative stigma. They weren't born crazy. So the poem I actually wrote has a lot to do about this, and it's based on true stories, and it's about a Native American, it's a children's story, Sarah Ann, or, yeah. Woo! Say hi to, wait, what's her name? Serafina. Everybody say hi to Serafina. She's 6 years old. She came here for humanity, for revolution. Thank you, Serafina. So, I'm going to say this poem, and it's about a Native American medicine practitioner, and, she runs away from a reservation, and she goes to live by herself in the forest because she didn't want to deal with colonization or anything, so. And it's called Butterfly Full Moon. She started up the mountain. She was so tired. So she lied down and veiled herself with leaves to cover herself from the coyotes. She slept and she wept, but she could never be kept, for she enthused too much pep. And although her love for him held such challenging depth, her passion to give was angelically adept, so she took a step. She threw off the leaves. She threw off the leaves, and she prepared to take leave. No more longing for absent fatherly steves, or hanging under the spell of motherly eaves. But instead, trying, acting, then living to achieve. So yes, she had grieved, and she had crashed into the rockiest of reefs. But this princess was an Indian chief. She hiked one foot in front of the other. She was lonely. She missed her sister and brother. But she could not resurrect them or any other. To herself, she had to be a responsible mother. No waiting and compromising for the prince titled lover, or isolating herself in her tent taking cover, but to finish the trail she had set out so long ago. And though it seemed the signs had vanished in the snow, when she looked with her heart, she sensed them below. So her feet took charge and led her where she was destined to go, which was the high part of the trail instead of the low. And that, my friends, was the start of a life-changing flow. A pack of wild coyotes surrounded her, and she let out a cry. Then she focused, grabbed her arrows, and shot a bullseye into each of those coyotes until they all died. She would be no predator's victim as long as she tried to pull all of her courageous strength from inside. They had said she was like a child to be guarded, but they had lied. No, she was able, full of power, and did not have to hide. She rested, made new arrows, and continued her stride. The butterflies followed her along for the ride. An enemy white soldier approached, and the butterflies fluttered away. But she fearlessly stood her ground, which kept him at bay. She said, "I have no dispute with you, so I'll be on my way." And he replied, "Listen, young squaw, you'll do as I say. Being my prisoner is the fate you must pay." She shot back, "My freedom is mine, and to you I will never obey. Now be noble and decent and get out of my way." He could not conquer her spirit, so he had to leave her alone. Then she followed the trail. The butterflies had flown, which led to a cave where she set up a home, where light, beauty, and adventure happily roam. Self-pity and enslavement are pushed out the side, and the wild woman of the mountain inside her resides. I love you guys.
We're queer. We're fabulous. They don't fuck with us.